Verse 6. The man instructed in the word should share all he has with his instructor. Make no mistake about it. No one makes a fool of God. A man will reap only what he sows. So those who specifically have the word of God should pass that along. Everyone has to share that own responsibility. You reap what you sow. All of these comes back to that sense of that responsibility that each person has. Verse 8, if he sows in the field of the flesh, he will reap a harvest of corruption. But if his seed ground is the Spirit, he will reap everlasting life. Again, the flesh and the Spirit, serving oneself or serving God. Sometimes I think there are ways in which we might look at the things that we do and we say, oh, this is a good deed, this is a good work. But if it's done out of any selfish motive, meaning if it's done according to the flesh, then it will not bear fruit. One of the things we've said about the Judaizers, about the agitators, is they themselves may have thought they were doing a good thing. St. Paul's gone around and they're giving more information. St. Paul's talked about Christ. He just barely had a chance to give them a beginning lesson. We're going to be able to give them even more information. We're going to help fill up their knowledge. We're going to help complete that by helping them to understand the whole history of salvation and the role that Moses played leading up to Christ and the law that was given and so forth. So they may have thought that they were doing a good thing, but here St. Paul would talk about that as sowing in the field of the flesh, it's reaping corruption. It's not being done according to the Spirit, according to the will of God. It's being done according to the will of man. It's being done according to human judgment. What humans think would be the right thing to do. But the important thing is, what does God say is the right thing to do? And so you do not act according to your own will, according to the flesh, but instead sow in the seed ground of the Spirit, put God's will first above all things. Verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good. If we do not relax our efforts, in due time we will reap our harvest. Completing that image that if we sow in the seed ground of the Spirit, then we get the harvest that comes from that. The harvest of our efforts, that we do our part, but it's God who brings this harvest about. And the Galatians have a part to play in that. It is now part of their responsibility to put this into practice. Verse 10, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. So to put into practice that model of goodness, but especially to be good to one another, especially those in Christ, because those who are in Christ are brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's a special bond that pertains to the household of faith. And so there, within their community, especially there, they should give good witness, good example of the Christian love that you should find toward one another. They should be good to everyone. But for the consistency of their witness, let them make sure that especially they're treating with goodness, with love, with service, and with respect the people in their own Christian community, the people who are in their own church, their own parish, you might say. Verse 11. See, I write to you in my own large handwriting. Now, this is an interesting verse here, because one of the things that was oftentimes done in this time period was to employ a scribe. You heard about, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, and well, scribes and people who are trained in the law or people who are trained in writing and so forth, that was kind of a special ministry. And oftentimes we'd say that people didn't write their own things. They might have dictated it and a scribe would take it down, or there'd be ideas like this. In this case, Paul wants to make it absolutely clear. No scribe has written this. Okay, I am being as personal as I can be to you. I am writing this in my own handwriting. So it's just a little emphasis, a little added personal note where St. Paul says, "There's this. I myself am communicating to you as passionately." And is there any doubt about that? Throughout the letter, it's been so utterly passionate. How passionate St. Paul is, and how personal he is being. So I think that's the importance of verse 11, especially knowing the practice of the time of the use of a scribe who would help to record things, not for St. Paul. Here he's making this personal appeal. Verse 12, those who are trying to force you to be circumcised are making a play for human approval with an eye to escaping persecution for the cross of Christ. The very ones who accept circumcision do not follow the law themselves. They want you to be circumcised only that they may boast about your bodily observance. This is these two verses fit together. It's sort of his final judgment on the motives of the Judaizers, the motives of the agitators. He says what they're talking about is making a play for human approval. So again, we're in the flesh. that they themselves may boast about your bodily observance, so they can boast about your flesh. And in all of this, we have the flesh and the spirit. It says everything that he says about the Judaizers then belongs to the flesh. It's all from below. That there is a self-serving motive there, so that they can take credit for your conversion, so they can feel a sense of pride for having brought the law to you and ensuring that you observe it. So you see how verse 12 and 13, he really sums up, in really a very scathing synthesis, the motivations for the Judaizers as he sees it. So St. Paul's very clear on that. But then we get St. Paul's motivations, verse 14. May I never boast of anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through it, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. St. Paul has been given this responsibility, and it came from the moment at which he went through his conversion, the time when he was knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, and in that moment, in that revelation, when he met Christ, he has come to understand he has a special mission, a mission to the Gentiles, a mission to carry Christ to the world. And so in dying to self, in giving up his old way of life, he has been crucified to rise with Christ, and so to dedicate himself to this mission of being Christ, bringing Christ to the world. So he says, I boast of the cross of Christ, because through that cross, through the absurdity of the cross, through this absurd moment at which St. Paul, who had been the Jew beyond all Jews, is now instead becoming the apostle to the Gentiles, preaching a freedom from the very law he himself meticulously practiced, of all of these things. He says, this cross of Christ, through it, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So he has now been sent forth to bring the world to Christ. That there is this profound sense of this dying to self, and that he is calling the whole world then to a death to self in order to embrace this faith in cross, this faith in Christ. It's very poetic. I mean, that is a very profound way of speaking about just how complete and total his conversion was, just what his faith in Christ means to him, about the significance of this call. Verse 15, it means nothing whether one is circumcised or not. We heard that. That's a repeat of something he has said already, so he renews that again. All that matters is that one is created anew. And if you're holding to the old law, you are not part of the new creation. You have not experienced that rebirth that comes from faith in Christ, from baptism, from receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes you a new creation. That's what matters, is that you are created anew. Verse 16, peace and mercy. So here we had grace and peace before. So peace, he wishes peace again, and mercy. Mercy in the sense that we recognize that we are in need of God's forgiveness. He says, have they strayed? Have they given rein to the flesh? Have they turned their back on Christ? Peace and mercy to you. Know the mercy of God. St. Paul experienced the mercy of God. Having persecuted Christians time and time again, he experienced God's mercy, and he wishes that same experience of mercy, that profound experience of forgiveness, to be with the Galatians. Peace and mercy on all who follow this rule of life, this manner of living, this rule of life, this Christian lifestyle, on all who follow the rule of life and on the Israel of God. That Israel of God, that is an interesting expression. Now, if you were to say Israel, who is Israel? Israel are the chosen people, those who had a covenant with God. So those who belong to God by this special covenant, those who were the descendants in the flesh of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. Here he's not talking about the old Israel, but the Israel of God. So he had spent all this time contrasting, especially in Galatians 3 and Galatians 4, the idea of where are we really set free from the law, where is our real freedom? So when he says the Israel of God, he is not talking about the old Israel, but now this new Israel, that you have inherited the promises that were given to Abraham by faith in Abraham's descendant, Jesus Christ. Remember how strong he made that point in Galatians 3. You're a descendant of Abraham by faith, our father in faith, because of your faith in Jesus Christ. So all who believe, all who are spiritual descendants of Abraham by the faith, faith in Jesus Christ, are the new Israel, the Israel of God. This is very, it picks up a lot of those themes of the Old Testament covenant that we saw throughout the letter. And then verse 17, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear the brand marks of Jesus in my body. This is, again, talks about how personal he is and how personally he has been brought into this mystery of the cross. how he's been incorporated into this idea of being crucified. He says, through the law, I died to the law. I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. All of these ways. So what does he say? I bear the brand marks of Jesus in my body. It brings back immediately the notion of crucifixion. But when he says the brand marks of Jesus Christ, what does part of that mean? What has St. Paul been, what has happened to him? He has been persecuted again and again and again. And so the persecution he has endured is for him part of his living out of his cross that he carries and which he carries willingly for the sake of the mission that he has received. So he says, you have circumcision as the mark in your flesh. Well, here's the mark in my flesh. I carry the cross. Here's my sign that I belong to Jesus Christ. You want to see it? I'll show it to you here. It's the brand marks in my own body. The trials and the sufferings he has endured. As time and time and time again, he encountered resistance and persecution, imprisonment and difficulty and struggle. So he can say it as well. He can show clearly that he has lived that out. And this is no mere ritual, the mere practice of circumcision, but instead this is a very powerful sign that he is ready to put his money where his mouth is, so to speak. He has lived the faith he preaches. He has walked the walk and talked the talk, all of these things. And then verse 18, brothers, may the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so there he reaches the end of that passage. So the letter of the Galatians is just a very powerful letter indeed. There is a sense in which I think as scripture scholars look at this, that Galatians was really a first draft, you might say, for Romans. Because when St. Paul gets to Romans, he takes up a lot of these same themes and he expands on them in a very powerful way. Romans is a little bit more than twice as long as the letter to the Galatians, but has a lot of the same themes about the law, about the freedom from the law, about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of living according to the Spirit. So we ask St. Paul to be with us as we meditate on all of these things, as we draw fruit from his word. We ask the Holy Spirit to be with each one of us and to help us always live according to our faith in Jesus Christ.